نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو أننا نزلنا إليهم الملائكة وكلمهم الموتى وحشرنا عليهم كل شيء قبلا ما كانوا ليؤمنوا إلا أن يشاء الله ولكن أكثرهم يجهلون. And even if we had sent down to them angels, and the dead had spoken to them, and we had gathered together all things before their very eyes, they would not have believed unless Allah willed, but most of them behave ignorantly, or are ignorant. And so we have appointed for every prophet enemies, devils among mankind and jinn, inspiring one another with adorned speech as a deception. If your Lord had so willed, they would not have done it. فَذَرْهُمْ وَمَا يَفْتَرُونَ. So leave them alone with their fabrications. That the hearts of those who disbelieve in the hereafter may incline to such deceit, and that they may remain pleased with it, and that they may commit what they are committing. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us that some people who are determined to reject the truth, no matter what, no matter how many signs you bring to them, Allah says even if we send down to them angels, the dead speak to them, they will still persist in their ignorance. Now the key word here is yajhalun. They are ignorant. They don't have al-ilm. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, seeking knowledge, all forms of knowledge, but especially al-ilm, the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah, is compulsory upon every Muslim. So we find in the ensuing verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explaining that people without knowledge, who are determined to reject the truth, no matter how many clear signs you bring to them, they will still persist in stubbornness. And Allah says, so we have appointed for every prophet enemies, devils among mankind and jinn, inspiring one another with adorned speech as a deception. In other words, once you set out in Allah's path, Shaitan will do his best to thwart you, do his best to dissuade you in every possible way. You might have noticed that whenever you start obeying Allah in any particular way, people will come forward and do their best to discourage you. I remember when I myself was studying in Al-Huda, people were constantly coming up to me, and these were my friends, and saying, do you know how neglected your children are being? Is this fair to your children? Is this what Islam teaches you? And every time they would say that, again I would be plunged into confusion and start wondering, am I doing right? Should I be taking this 1 year out to study the Quran? What if I lose my children? Later on I realized that when I studied the Quran, I was doing it for my children. But Allah warns us that when you set out in my path, people will come forward to discourage you, to dissuade you, to distract you, somehow to beguile you from the true path. Allah says, أَفَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ يَبْتَغِي حَكَمًا. Should I seek a judge other than Allah? In other words, who is it that should be responsible for ordering our life scheme? Should it be our friends? Should it be our neighbors? Should it be society who dictates the way we behave? Or should it be Allah? Should I seek a judge other than Allah, while it is He who has sent down to you the book explained in detail? See, Allah says this Quran has been explained in detail, but for people who prefer to remain in ignorance, it's not going to benefit them. Those to whom we gave the scripture know that it is revealed from your Lord in truth. فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُمْتَرِينَ. So don't be of those who doubt. Now the word used here is not disbelief, the word used here is doubt. And sometimes we just waste our whole life just doubting. Can I do this? Should I obey Allah? Should I start doing hijab? Can I get up and pray? No, it's too difficult. Allah says don't be of those who doubt. Don't waste these precious moments that have been given to you just in doubting and wondering. وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. The word of your Lord has been fulfilled in truth and in justice. None can change His words. And He is the All-Hearer, the All-Knower. وَإِنْ تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And if you obey most of those on earth, they will mislead you far away from Allah's path. Now if you look at the contrast between ayat 115 and 116, Allah reminds us that this book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, the only book in which there is no doubt. And Allah warns us that if we follow people's desires, if we follow people's whims, we are going to plunge ourselves into chaos and confusion. On one hand, we have Allah's word in truth and in justice, calmness, certainty, conviction. And on the other hand, Allah says, if you obey most of those on earth, they will mislead you far away from Allah's path. Because obviously everyone has a different interpretation of deen. Your friend will interpret Islam differently than your mother. Your mother's interpretation will be different than your husband. Allah says, they follow nothing but conjectures. People who base their interpretation of Islam on their own desires, well, in my opinion, I think that Allah is not going to ask me about prayers, for instance. Oh, Allah knows how much I love Him, and Allah is not going to punish me. Allah says, they follow nothing but conjectures, وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُسُونَ, and they do nothing but guess. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ مَنْ يَضِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِي. Indeed, your Lord, it is He who knows best, who strays from His way, and He knows best the rightly guided one. In other words, rather than following people's opinions, people's criterion, people's yardstick of who is a loser and who is a winner, Allah says, follow Allah's judgment. Trust in Allah's word. Trust in Allah's definition of who are the winners and who are the losers. And Allah now goes on to say, so eat of that on which Allah's name has been pronounced, إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you are believers in His signs. So you might wonder, what's the link between the verses? One minute Allah speaking about our belief in Him, and the next minute Allah speaking of food. See, in our society we find people have a tendency to compartmentalize deen. So you might have a person who's going for Umrah religiously, who's going for Hajj every year, who's reading his 5 times prayers. But when he goes abroad, or when it comes to a matter of the food that he eats, he's totally careless. And he doesn't even bother to think whether this food is halal or haram. He might be abstaining from pork, but if he is eating food abroad without even finding out whether it is halal in Islam or haram, then Allah says this is a matter of your iman. You can't say, well, the food that I eat is just a personal matter. No, Allah says, eat of that on which Allah's name has been pronounced if you have iman in His verses. So we learn that iman is not just the name of prayers. It's not just the name of some rituals that we perform and then go out and do what we want. Allah says, if you have iman, then your whole life, your very food will reflect your identity. وَمَا لَكُمْ, and what is wrong with you? Why should you not eat of that on which Allah's name has been pronounced? وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, when He has explained to you in detail what is forbidden to you. See, Allah says, what grounds do you have for not knowing which is haram and which is halal when Allah has given you this knowledge? If it were that Allah had not mentioned this fact in the Quran, then we could have said, well, it's not written in the Quran, or we don't find anything in the Sunnah. Allah says, when Allah has explained to you in detail what is forbidden to you, what right then do you have to turn back and go on eating haram? Except under compulsion of necessity. And this is the flexibility of Islam, that if someone is in a situation where his life is threatened, or he's in a situation where he faces starvation if he doesn't eat haram, then he is allowed to do so. And Allah says, and surely many do lead mankind astray by their own desires, بغير علم, through lack of knowledge. As we can see, again it comes back to knowledge. At the end of the day, it's about how much knowledge you possess and how much you actually act upon that knowledge. Certainly your Lord knows best the transgressors. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَا, and leave sin open and secret. See, again, the same theme is being stressed, that Islam is a perfect way of life. It doesn't mean that you can abstain from outward sins. And outwardly we act like pious believers. And when we go abroad and no one's watching, we eat what we like. Allah says, leave all aspects of sin open and secret. And according to one interpretation, open sins are our actions, and secret sins are the feelings we harbor in our heart. Feelings which are not allowed, such as feelings of envy, of hatred, of venom, of jealousy. And Allah says, indeed, those who commit sins will get due recompense for that which they used to commit. See, we find in our society as well, great hypocrisy. And this is one reason that some people say, well, we're not going to pray because we've seen the actions of those who pray. Allah is warning us here that Islam does not teach hypocrisy, that if you can commit a sin secretly, if you can cheat someone privately and get away with it, then go ahead and do so. Allah warns us, those who commit sin, whether open, whether known to all or secret, will get recompense for that which they used to commit. And Allah repeats, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Do not eat of that on which Allah's name has not been pronounced. Now many people say that in the West they sacrifice Islamically, and the only difference is that they don't take Allah's name over that meat or chicken or whatever. So if you say Bismillah and then blow over it, then you can eat that. Now look at the words of the verse. These are Allah's words. Do not eat of that on which Allah's name has not been pronounced. What could be more clear than this? Why? وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ. Because it is disobedience. And fisq is when someone bursts out of the boundaries of obedience set by Allah. And Allah reminds us, certainly the devils do inspire their friends to dispute with you. People will come up with many glib arguments. No, why can't we eat that meat? What's the harm in it? Allah warns us, وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ. If you obey them, if you follow their opinions and go ahead eating what you wish to eat, regardless of whether Allah's name has been mentioned over it or not, إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. Then you are those who do shirk. Now that's a very harsh word, and that's something that we would never define ourselves as, because we have a limited concept of shirk, that a mushrik is one who worships a stone idol or who worships fire or the stars. And we're not like that. We're Muslims. But mushrik, we need to remember, the Prophet ﷺ said once, the worst false god followed on earth is man's own nafs. So if I cannot bear to sacrifice something of my own desires and I feel like eating that meat and I go ahead and eat it, then I am doing shirk. And I'm worshipping my own desires instead of worshipping Allah. And Allah gives us a parable. Is he who is dead, and we gave him life, and set for him a light, whereby he can walk amongst men, like him who is in the darknesses, from which he can never come out? What does this example mean? On one side you have a man, a person, who was in darkness, who was spiritually dead, then Allah brought him to life. Allah gave him a nur. The nur of the Qur'an, the nur of the sunnah. And this nur illuminated his life. Can he be comparable to one who spends his life in darknesses? Now just think about it. When the electricity goes and it's nighttime, what happens? You stumble around in the dark. You have to feel your way cautiously. And when the light comes on, suddenly you can walk with confidence. You can move around. You can see your surroundings. It's like Allah reminding us, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the friend of those who believe. He brings them out of darknesses. What darknesses? Of confusion, of superstition, of fear, of uncertainty, of selfishness, following your own desires. Ila nur, towards light. The light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. Can he be like one who walks in darkness? Who's stumbling around? Who has to feel his way? Who's not sure of what he's doing? Thus it is made fair seeming to the disbelievers that which they used to do. What is this man's tragedy? The one who's living in darkness? He doesn't even realize it. He doesn't realize what's happening to him. And that's his true tragedy. And that's his true undoing. And thus we have set up in every town great ones of its wicked people to plot therein. Allah warns us that this is the tendency, not all of the elite, but most of the elite are quick to rebel against Allah's command. Why? Because they consider themselves sophisticated enough to do without Allah's law. But they plot not except against their own selves, and they perceive it not. And when there comes to them a sign from Allah, they say, we shall not believe until we receive the like of that which the messengers of Allah had received. And all of us are familiar with this argument where people say, well, why doesn't Allah speak to us directly? Why can't we see a sign? No, we want to see a direct sign, and only then will we believe. Allah says, Allah knows best with whom to place his message. Do these scoffers place themselves on the level of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is that what they expect, that Allah should honor them the same way? Humiliation and disgrace from Allah and a severe torment will overtake the criminals. Bima kanu yamkurun, for that which they used to plot. فَمَنْ يُرِدَ اللَّهُ وَيَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Whomsoever Allah wishes to guide, he opens his heart for Islam. And whomsoever he wills to send astray, he makes his breast closed and constricted as if he were climbing up to the sky. As when you climb higher and higher and there's a lack of oxygen, this is the example Allah gives us. On one end, you have freshness, you have expansion, you have calmness. And on the other hand, you have suffocation, tightness, constriction, you can't bear it. In this example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us, how do we know when we have received Allah's iman? How can we tell, how can we judge ourselves? That am I one whom Allah has truly guided? Am I one who has received Allah's nur? Allah gives us an example. See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this ayat most beautifully and said, the gist of which was, when a person gets the light of faith and his heart is open for Islam, and the people asked, how will we know? How do we know that we are among such people? And he mentioned three indications. At-tajafi al-inabatu ila daril khulud. When you start thinking about the hereafter, the home of eternity. In other words, you're living in the world, not that you go live in a cave. No, you're living in the world, but your thoughts, your desires, your deepest hopes, your deepest aspirations and dreams revolve around the hereafter. وَالْتَجَافِ عَنْ دَارِ الْغُرُورِ. You turn away from the home of deception. In other words, you're living in the dunya, you haven't renounced it, but you're not obsessed with the dunya. And finally, وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ. That you start preparing for death before it actually happens. Now we can analyze ourselves. These three qualities that indicate that a person has truly accepted and internalized Islam. That when you hear a command of Allah's, your heart joyously accepts it. Not that you think to yourself, oh, that's so difficult or that's impossible. This is a matter of the heart's response. Allah says, يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Your heart should open up for Islam. On every word that you hear, your response should be, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. And he whom Allah wills to send astray, he makes his breast closed and constricted. They hear Allah's commands and they're like a burden. Islam itself is like an oppressive burden. Oh God, now I know I have to obey. As if he is climbing up to the sky. The more and more they learn, that knowledge becomes like a burden for them. كَذَلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Thus does Allah put the wrath on those who do not believe. Now if you think about it, there are people who say Islam is just rituals. This ayat negates that theory. Allah is speaking of your heart and your heart's response here. Allah is not talking of the rituals you've performed, the hajjs you've done in your life. Thus Allah puts the wrath on those who have no iman. Because Allah tells us in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Those who have iman are most intense in their love for Allah. So whether Allah is telling them to get up and pray, or whether Allah is telling them to do hijab, or Allah is telling them to do hajj, whatever command it is that they hear from Allah, they joyously accept it. And this is an indication of weakness of iman, of lack of iman, if when we hear Allah's commands, and instead of our heart expanding with joy, our heart constricts in resentment and misery. And Allah says, وَهَذَا صِرَاطُ رَبِّكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is the path of your Lord, absolutely straight. People ask, where can we find guidance? Allah tells us, this is the path of your Lord, leading straight. We have detailed our revelations for the people who take heed. For people who want to find the truth is all in this Quran. لَهُمْ دَارُ السَّلَامِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For them will be the abode of peace with their Lord. See, if you think about it, when a mu'min dies, what do the angels say? يَا يَتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ. O you soul at peace, اِرْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. Return to your Lord well-pleased and having pleased Him. It's a two-way deal. Because the mu'min or mu'mina joyously accepted Allah's commands, was happy with obeying Allah, Allah too was pleased with that soul. And He will be their protector, بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, because of what they used to do. Nowhere in Islam does Allah say that because you're born Muslims, you'll be given peace or you'll be saved from the fire. He will be their protector because of what they used to do. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. At the end of the day, it's our actions that count. And on the day when He will gather them all together and say, O you assembly of jinn, many did you mislead of men. And their friends amongst men will say, Our Lord, we benefited one from the other, but now we have reached our appointed term which you appointed for us. He will say, Annaru maswakum, the fire is your dwelling place. You will dwell therein forever, except as Allah may will. Certainly your Lord is all-wise, all-knowing. And thus do we make the wrongdoers supporters of one another because of that which they used to earn. O you assembly of jinn and mankind, Alam ya'tikum rusulun minkum? Did not there come to you messengers from amongst you, reciting to you my verses, and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? They will say, We bear witness against ourselves. It was the life of this world that deceived them. وَشَهِدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ And they will bear witness against themselves that they were disbelievers. Why will Allah ask them this question? Won't He know the answer? Why is He asking them that didn't there come to you messengers from yourselves? Because this will increase their bitterness. This will increase their anguish that why didn't they bother to open that Quran? Why did they not bother to acquire knowledge about Islam? Allah says, This is because your Lord would not destroy towns for their wrongdoings while their people were unaware. And this is the purpose of the revelation of the Quran. This is Allah's justice demanding it. Allah would not destroy any people if they truly did not know. So Allah sent messengers to all the people. وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتُ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا For all there will be degrees according to what they did. When you read this ayat, you feel a sense of fear. We feel fear lest we be unable to attain that highest degree. See, it's like Allah is telling us that there are different marks. There's the pass mark, and then there's the highest mark for the student who tried the hardest that he could. The Prophet ﷺ said once, the gist of which was, people in paradise will look up at the higher levels as you gaze at the stars. We often hear people say, well, if I can just make it to the lowest level of paradise, I'll be content. That's all I want. But the Prophet ﷺ taught us that when you ask for Jannatul Firdaus. Seek the best. Just as in this worldly life of ours, nobody says, well, I'll be content just to live in a little hut. That's all I want. I don't want much. No, when we build a house, we build the best. When we make a suit of clothes, we make the best. Why then are ambitions so low concerning the hereafter? Allah warns us, وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا According to what they did. Not what they said. Talk is cheap. Not what they thought or they planned that one day I'll serve Islam and one day I'll read the Quran and one day I'll do all this. مِمَّا عَمِلُوا What they actually did. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ Your Lord is not unaware of what they do. Allah knows the way we spend each moment in our life. وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ And your Lord is self-sufficient, full of mercy. Don't be deluded by Allah's love into thinking Allah needs ibadah. That's why He keeps on saying, do something. No, Allah is ghani. He doesn't need us. ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ Full of mercy. If He wills, He can destroy you and in your place make whom He wills as your successors, as He raised you from the offspring of other people. إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَآتٍ Surely that which you are promised will indeed come to pass, and you cannot escape. Qul, tell them, O my people, work according to your way. Surely I too am working, and you will come to know for which of us will be the ultimate outcome in the hereafter. Certainly the wrongdoers will not be successful. Now after mentioning the fact that each of us will be rewarded or punished according to our deeds, Allah gives us a few instances of the rituals that the pagans had invented. We need to remember that Suratul An'am is a surah about Tawheed, a surah in which Allah explains His oneness and reminds us that we have to affirm our belief in that oneness through every act in our lives. It's no good saying, well, I believe in Allah alone and then going to a mazar and praying to a peer. So Allah points the dichotomy between people's beliefs and people's actual actions. Because the pagans would also, if they were asked who created the heavens and the earth, they'd say Allah. Just like if you ask Muslims who do you believe in, they'll say Allah. But at the same time, they could be doing many mushrikana rituals in their lives. So Allah points this out. They assigned to Allah a share of the tills and cattle which He has created. Now what the pagans would do was that they would say, out of the harvest, we'll give a certain percentage to the poor in Allah's name, and a certain percentage will be for our idols or our gods. And they say this is for Allah according to their claim and this is for our partners. But the share of their partners does not reach Allah, while the share of Allah reaches their partners. Now, when the harvest came out and the crops that they had assigned for their idols were less, then what they would do was they would take from the crops they had assigned for Allah and say, well, Allah won't mind. And they would give those crops for the idols. Allah says, سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Evil is the way they judge. And so, to many of the pagans, their partners have made fair-seeming the killing of their children in order to lead them to their own destruction and to cause confusion in their religion. Now, this was something else that the pagans used to do. Now, we need to understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us something very important here, that when you follow shirk, once you start obeying or believing in anyone other than Allah, what happens? Your vision becomes blurred. Your vision becomes blurred, your perception becomes distorted. So Allah says, because of the shirk that they're involved in, because they're taking their religion and their creed from so many places, their partners have made beautiful the killing of their children. A crime as sick as child murder has been made beautiful in their eyes. Why? In order to lead them to their own destruction and cause confusion in their religion. Again and again Allah is stressing that Tawheed means conviction and clarity of vision. And shirk leads to confusion. And if Allah had willed, they would not have done so. So leave them alone with their fabrications. See how contemptuously Allah dismisses them. And according to their claim, they say that such and such cattle and crops are forbidden, and none should eat of them except whom we allow. And the Arabs would dedicate certain animals in the names of idols, and then they would feed them, saying these animals are sacred. And they say, there are cattle forbidden to be used for burden, and cattle on which, at slaughtering, the name of Allah is not pronounced. Iftira'an alay, lying against Allah. Allah says, when people invent rituals, and say, well, this is pleasing to Allah, without any basis for their knowledge or their assumption, Allah warns us, He will recompense them for what they used to fabricate. And we can think about all the senseless rituals which are committed in our society as well, in the name of Islam. And they say, what is in the bellies of such and such cattle is for our males alone, and forbidden to our females. But if it is born dead, then they will all have shares therein. He will punish them for their attribution of such false orders to Allah. إِنَّهُ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ. Truly He is all-wise, all-knower. قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ قَتَلُوا أَوْلَادَهُمْ. Allah says, when people get involved in shirk, and they come up with theories and justifications, what happens? Does that mean Allah will forgive them while they didn't know? Allah says, no. Indeed, lost are they who have killed their children, foolishly, ignorantly, without knowledge, without any basis for doing that. Now we read, kill their children, and we get an image of those Arabs burying their children alive. Now we find in our society as well this crime exists. And women, you know, go for an ultrasound, and if they discover they're having a fourth daughter or a fifth daughter, then they abort the child. Women who say, well, we don't want any more children, will abort the child without any compunction, without any qualms. And unless it's life-threatening, this is not allowed. In the same way we find people neglecting their children, neglecting their religious upbringing, leaving them totally to do what they want, to be influenced by as many evil friends as they like. And this emotional destruction is also something for which we will be answerable. That if a man and a woman had a family of children and they neglected their religious upbringing, they will be asked about that. Why didn't you raise them as Muslims? And if we look at the campaigns on nowadays, especially in our countries, in the third world countries, where they're trying to sterilize the women because they say that the world is overpopulated. This is all an example of what Allah is telling us in this ayat. Indeed, lost are they who have killed their children, foolishly without knowledge. They have forbidden that which Allah has provided for them, inventing a lie against Allah. قَدْ ضَلُّوا. They have indeed gone astray, and they were not guided.